This is the Bartholomew Town Podcast.
Hi, everyone. Welcome into B-Town's continuing coverage of the impact of COVID-19 here in Rhode Island. I'm Bill Bartholomew. On today's episode, a conversation with financial counselor Susan Greenalch.
So, hi. Thank you so much for having me, Bill. Pleasure. I'm Susan Greenalch. I'm the president of Mind Your Money, LLC. I'm an accredited financial counselor here in the state of Rhode Island. And, my passion is to educate and encourage folks around money.
And right now, it's a unique moment from a financial perspective. Obviously, there's plenty of people on the business side who are extremely overwhelmed. Even if you have a loan, an SBA loan, there's a lot of questions about, are you going to be able to revive your business to the same degree that it was before the shutdown and essentially make the criteria laid out in those loans? Right now, just generally speaking, here in Rhode Island, the financial climate, how would you grade it? Where would you say the most stressed areas are? And, you know, just sort of summarize, is it okay to be a little bit freaked out right now by things?
Absolutely. It's absolutely okay to be freaked out. I think for myself, I keep having to remind myself to come back to center. It is overwhelming, and it can be especially overwhelming for folks that haven't been that closely connected with their money. You know, business was kind of going along. They were making payroll. So many small business owners have such a great skill and a great talent, but money management is not necessarily one of them. I think those people are really suffering now. with all of these programs coming out, they don't know how to take advantage of them. And, you know, breaking news, I guess, for today, the PPP program just ran out of money.
Right.
Yeah. So people that, had been running their businesses and doing fine, not necessarily close to their money. Now they find themselves, they're shut down. They are, deer in the headlight. Of course they are. So I would recommend they reach out if they have a CPA, if they have a financial advisor. Of course, I'm a financial counselor. I would be helpful as well, so that they can really take stock of where they are, what they have coming in, what needs to go out, and really do some short and long range planning around that.
Do you sense that there's going to be additional programs or funding to this PPP program? That is, there's so many three-letter PP acronyms floating around right now. Essentially, this program will be refunded and that there'll be more opportunities or similar opportunities. In other words, yes, it's out of money right now, but that doesn't necessarily mean we're going off a cliff tomorrow.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. And I would suspect that there's also going to be new programs rolling out. I'm thinking, longer term, as far as retraining people, what kind of skills, support is going to come out of this. We already have seen that working remotely is a new thing that more and more people are going to need to get skilled up on. The teachers were kind of thrown into it. Bless them for being able to do that. It's not easy, and they didn't have a tech guy in the next room to help them. So I think probably a lot of those programs will be coming forward, and we should be ready to take advantage of them.
What's your sense right now here in Rhode Island, the amount of, we have a robust gig economy, independent contractors, small business owners, if you want to put them into that broad gig economy, and certainly artists, musicians, people who are in the creative sector, so on and so forth. Where did they sit in this recovery? And do you think that we're going to enter into a period where, let's say, compensation increases for some of those folks, but then at the same time, there's now programs that they can pay into, unemployment type insurance programs? Will we see a new version of our financial sector sort of birthed from this?
Well, boy, if this didn't bring it to the forefront, right? Yeah. And I have to, have to kind of call out, and congratulate the government for actually acknowledging that and stepping up for the people that are in the gig economy, the self-employed people that have never been able to apply for unemployment before. And I think in Rhode Island, one of the things that was enacted a few years ago that was kind of a stepping stone was that the TCI it's sort of like the TDI for a temporary caregiver. So I do think that there's a recognition of that, and maybe there will be something, I suspect there will be, that we can support, you know, ourselves, our colleagues, our friends who are in that category. I would also like to see much more financial education available. That has been my rallying cry. I was on a, I don't know if you want to get into this right now, but I was on a wonderful financial literacy roundtable yesterday with our general treasurer, Seth Magaziner. And one of the things that he's been working towards is getting financial literacy education required in high schools. Mm-hmm. And I am fully behind that. I've seen the effect of people just not having really, and just any education or any, you know, it wasn't handed down from your parents. And they're just like a fish out of water. They don't know what they don't know. And so there's a lot of help out there. I would really like to see, there are 21 states right now that have financial literacy required. Rhode Island's not one of them. And so I am going to stand by and work to that end. And so hopefully we can report good news on that front soon.
That's basically activism right there, because it's a means of, again, it's I don't think anyone's thinking, all right, let me put my boot on the population's chin by not giving them financial advocacy or financial education. But at the same time, it does have that effect where you have people who are certainly, even at times myself included, where I'm thinking, what is the best mechanic? Is it better to, you know, sit like this stimulus that people are getting right now? They have $1,200. What do you do? Is it better to re-engage with the economy, or is it better to hold on to as much of that as long as possible? Both are unclear.
That's really a great question, Bill. And I think it's really individualized. And I've been trying to put out information about that, asking people what their plans are for it, to even set the idea that you should have a plan for it. Yeah. If, you know, if you have $1,200, you know, look at where you are right now. Maybe you need to buy food and medicine. Maybe it's the start of the emergency fund that you always kind of heard about, but you weren't really sure why you might need one. Now we see why we might need one. I don't think any of us thought that it was going to be a pandemic that would, you know, say, oh, okay, that's when I go to my emergency fund. But yeah, that's when you go to your emergency fund. So for each person, it's individualized, and you really need to see, like I said before, how much money you have likely coming in. What do you have to pay? And, you know, you're probably aware, Bill, but I'll just list here if people aren't aware. There's a lot of opportunity now to work with your mortgage company, with your landlord, with your car, whoever you bought your car from. Insurance companies are delaying taking the payments or giving you a discount. So you need to make the call, though. That's the criteria. You're not going to get this stuff. It's not going to just happen. But if you look at your list of things that you have to pay, go through the list, start making the phone calls. The mortgage companies are working with people. Landlords are, you know, they're not being able to evict anyone right now. Everybody eventually would like their money, but everybody understands that we're really all in this together right now.
Absolutely. I guess that's what it comes down to as well. Part of the education of this moment is sometimes if you are proactive, even before the crisis or after the crisis, there is flexibility. There's common sense that can be used, because it's a lose-lose for everyone. If you become quote-unquote insolvent and unable to pay your rent or your mortgage, then it becomes years-long court system-driven types of bad situations versus... Yeah. Just communicating. I think that's a big factor in all this.
I think that's exactly right. One thing I don't want to forget that I learned too on the financial roundtable yesterday. If you have student debt, call up your lender. There are lots and lots of support there right now. Again, you have to make the call. A lot of these things aren't just going to happen. Some of them will, but most of them won't. So you have to make that phone call. I mean, they're kind of forgiving interest for a little bit, delaying payments. It depends on the type of loan. But if you do have a loan, look at that and make those calls.
I guess it was a week ago. I had Gene Valicente, my colleague of sorts from WPRO, on. We were doing a live stream, and he had brought up that right now, as part of the, I guess, the stimulus broadly, that the changes in economic or financial policy, I should say, you can withdraw from a 401k or a Roth IRA penalty free. And, you know, probably 50% of the listenership doesn't have, you know, it doesn't have that type of an account. But for those who do, is it wise? I can even think of a few of my friends who worked at jobs at Citizens Bank or whatever, they've acquired that. Is it wise to essentially pull your money out of that so that you have access to cash right now? Or is it better to scrape by and let that account rebirth itself in the potential boom that will come when demand resumes?
Yeah, Bill, that's another great question, and also very individualized. If you need money to buy food right now and medicine, I would say you probably need to take some money out. If you don't need it that badly, first of all, you definitely want to talk to your financial advisor. If you don't have one, or if you don't think you have one, but if you have money in, say, a Fidelity or a Vanguard or a TIAA, there are people there who will help you to answer those questions. Again, it goes back to where you are individually right now with your financial situation. If you sit and look at it, what's coming in, what's going out, what you're going to need, it'll probably give you an answer. The thing is, if you take money out now, it's going to be without penalty, but then that money is not in the market to grow. The thinking is that, you know, there will be better days in the market. I don't give specific investment advice as an accredited financial counselor. I'm not licensed to do that. But I am, of course, able to talk about what the markets have done, to point people towards educating themselves on it. But I would suggest you talk to your financial advisor. The thing is, they say you can't get back in the market at the exact right time to take advantage of it. How would you know when we've hit bottom? Right. So it's you got to really educate yourself, I think, and reach out for help.
Absolutely. Yeah, I guess it's totally individualized, no doubt about it. And that's the nature of the beast as well. There's a risk involved. So if you get back in too late, or if you get in right on time, you might actually be able to, quote unquote, use this moment to advance yourself, if that's in a financial context.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So yeah, you can, if you pick it just right and you take that wave back up, the way that it's worked in the past, more power to you.
Yeah. I have a friend who's a Bitcoin advocate, really looks at world markets, you know, all digital coins. And I live in this big warehouse building here in Providence. He doesn't live in Rhode Island, but he said, you know what I would do right now if I were you? I'd get into oil. And I was like, what do you mean oil? He said, I mean barrels filled with crude oil on your roof. How are we at that point now where physical commodities, someone else I know wrote to me and said they're stockpiling medicines and this, that, and the other because they believe, quote unquote, cash is trash because of the infusion, the $2 trillion infusion, it's going to devalue currency. Is there any rationale to that sort of thinking where the US dollar may go, you know, become less, significantly less worth as a valuable as a world currency, or is that sort of extremist?
I haven't heard that. I don't move in the world of Bitcoin and yeah. in that kind of commodity. I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, it's.
My personal, the way that I operate is I don't kind of go there on those kind of risky investments. I consider them risky, but again, I don't give investment advice, so for you, it might make sense. Oil on the roof? I don't know. You better check your insurance to make sure that you have coverage.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Sort of back into just policy here within Rhode Island. Which sectors are the most vulnerable right now? I mean, that's pretty obvious in some levels, but assuming everyone is able to get, every taxpayer gets their stimulus, everyone who needs to be and should be on unemployment or TDI, whatever it is, assuming everything is smooth sailing, let's say a month from now, what are the next key areas and the most vulnerable populations, if you will, that need to really quickly educate themselves so that they don't fall into some kind of trap?
Well, I think, you know, I think the people that are doing kind of the hands-on work with other people, the people still in the gig economy, I think that we're relying on, you know, playing in clubs or playing in places where, you know, being exposed to large crowds of people, theaters, actors, you know, musicians. I think all of that is going to take quite some time to play out. I mean, we're hearing reports that sports stadiums, you know, may have sports, but they won't have any crowds in them for a long time. So I think it's too early to say, you know, who knows, maybe a cure will be found and maybe we won't be socially distancing as we are right now. But I think people that normally are in those kinds of roles, also, you know, restaurants, I think they're going to need to pivot. Talking about having, you know, maybe waiters wearing masks, having people have their temperature checked as they come in, you know, kind of things I'm hearing coming up down the road. I do think now is the time for people, if they're, you know, even if you still have your job right now, I think it's really a good time to get your finances organized. You don't know when that next wave is going to come of layoffs. I mean, this is a rolling kind of economic problem. The waiters, waitresses, servers, artists, whatever, restaurants got hit in the first round solidly. But now there's going to be a ripple effect of that. What, you know, other companies are going to be laying off. Just because you have a job today and you have a paycheck doesn't mean that in a month from now, your company will still be able to support the payroll that it has. So I would encourage everyone right now to really take a good look at their resume. Think about the things that they've done in the past. Think about what they like to do that maybe doesn't involve being with a lot of people. I mean, it might not be a good time to become a massage therapist or a hairdresser. Those kinds of things, I think, are going to be problematic for a while.
Yeah, no question about it. And also, I feel, based on the nature of the beast anyway, most artists that I know, whether you're an actor, actress, musician, you've got to find, for with very few exceptions, there's always been sort of a secondary, whether it's a hustle or a career that you used to have that you can lean on. And it's a delicate balance, because if you're an artist or someone who is, you know, in the creative sector, you're probably thinking, well, I don't want to change my legacy to go back to a desk job. At the same time, you might have an advantage working remotely for something that is not necessarily your art in the long term, if you are able to continue earning, develop your craft sort of behind the scenes, then in a year, 2 years, whatever it is, maybe next month, if a miracle occurs, that you can actually re-enter financially solid and sort of have that skill set developed even more so for any future need.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you mentioned, of course, the working remotely, things that, I mean, right away, I mean, the doctors are now having visits remotely. I mean, that, I think that's a good thing that's going to come out of this. A lot of the things that we didn't think we could do, now we're finding that we have to do them. So I think that there's going to be bright spots that come out of this and better ways of doing things. So really, I think take a good hard look at your own skills, desires, financial picture, and see, you know, keep your eyes and ears open for opportunities to train. Absolutely. You know, Skills for Rhode Island is active in promoting those kinds of things. I'm sure there's going to be so many more coming out.
I guess sort of the last area I was thinking is college. universities, is it worth the investment if you're paying $70,000 a year? I know RISD just raised their tuition. They're now talking about $70,000 a year. Full disclosure, my wife goes there and, you know, she's doing remote learning. I'm sure they're doing it as well as they can, but I mean, that's not, I mean, please, $70,000 a year for remote learning in art school that's not worth the money. I mean, so where do you see, I mean, maybe it is actually, I shouldn't say that, for some it may be, but long-term as part of that skills, is the value of college, university, that 4-year, get a degree, go in debt, is that over with? Are we going to see evolutions there? And is that a wise financial move going forward?
I think a lot of people were questioning that, you know, before all this happened. Yeah. And I think it was a good question. I think we kind of, you know, for whatever reason over the years, we kind of got caught up in, if you don't have a 4-year college degree, you're not going to get anywhere. Yeah. And then we built this, you know, system where, you know, we have a lack of tradespeople. We don't have enough plumbers. We don't have enough electricians. We don't have a lot of people that are skilled in those kinds of things. So I think it is a really good time to question that. The whole model, it probably, I was just listening to something earlier about what is it going to look like when school is back in session? You know, how are we going to join with others? I know I work with a woman who's an educator, and I was just talking to her today. You know, and she's trying to grapple with, you know, especially elementary school teachers. I mean, they want to be with the kids. They need to, you know, they have that close proximity. They need to interact. Kids need to be with kids in order to learn how to play and to cooperate. So there are a lot of things that have to be figured out for this. As far as the colleges go, yeah, I think, you know, everything I believe needs to be reexamined and really looked at with a fresh eye. And I'm hopeful, I'm really hopeful that a lot of good, new, better practices are going to come out. But I think we're going to have to say goodbye to some things that we kind of got used to.
Oh, I agree completely. And I think that's the silver lining, the optimistic perspective that, you know, even and it does factor in obviously to the financial sector, but looking at community health and community health clinics and where are they and how does that factor in? You know, a lot of people have who are uninsured, you know, technically I know COVID care is free, but well, not free. It's not a burden upon the individual, but broadly speaking, public health that drives people into debt. And how can we reexamine that sector to make it again, just more just. And so we're not all the rug doesn't get pulled out from under us in a moment like this.
I know it. Well, it's, I mean, this was, you know, a disaster. It's been a disaster. You know, the mental health concerns are real. People, you know, the isolation, the loneliness, the health fears are all things that I'm also doing some reading on. It's really a troubling time. And I think to just encourage people to reach out and to, you know, make a phone call, you know, walk with a friend 6 feet apart. You know, a lot of people are doing Zoom, you know, with their family. Just keep those up. We need to stay connected and we need to learn from each other and look towards, you know, what new world is going to come out of this. But it really, it highlighted, you know, like some of the problems. Before this happened, there was, you know, the statistics on who could have, you know, the number of people that could afford a surprise $400 bill, yeah. You know, something that happened. I mean, a lot of people couldn't even afford that before this. This is America. You know, why are we allowing ourselves to be in this situation? So again, I get on my, you know, financial education. We need to provide that. It's it should be absolutely required. I think it should be required in all schools, all grades, every state. And I think that this pandemic kind of you know, brings that out.
Couldn't agree more. And yeah. It's a fascinating moment as well, because it's a chance for us to maybe build more of a resource-oriented economy where, again, maybe not breaking down the entire system we have here, you know, as far as the world order that we live in, but you can fill in a lot of those gaps with the right information for yourself, and we can kind of do it collectively. And this is that moment to examine, and hopefully when we are more out of this, we can have a better world, so to speak.
Yeah, absolutely.
What's the best way for people to get a hold of you if they have questions about their own financial situation, or if they'd like to engage you on a professional level, whatever it may be?
Great. Thank you so much, Bill, for that opportunity. I will say right now, well, since March, since this started happening, I'm offering 45-minute complimentary consultations. You need to just go to my website and sign up there. The website is www.mindyourmoneyllc.com. If you go to the coaching page, you'll find 45-minute consultations. It'll bring you to my calendar, find a time that works for you. People are taking advantage of it. I want everybody to take advantage of it. I'm going to extend it. I was going to do it through April, but because it looks like we're going to be longer in this, I want to get to help more people, at least, you know, get themselves started. I do have ongoing one-on-ones and packages that we can talk about. But if you have questions, if you just want to get started, please go to mindyourmoneyllc.com and sign up.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much. I would love to do this on a recurring basis every few weeks or so as we move, if you'd be willing to, you know, I think.
Let's check in, Bill. Yeah. Absolutely. Things are changing so quickly. And I'm happy to share what I'm learning and what I learned through my network of coaches on the national level.
This is the Bartholomew Town Podcast.
At HealthSource RI for Employers, we provide access to health insurance to more than 1,100 local businesses and nonprofits, and 96% of them renew through us every year. Maybe it's our choice of 19 different health plans, our 10 years of customizing solutions, or our one local team of dedicated experts helping employers find quality health insurance. See how our numbers stack up for you. Learn more at healthsourceri.com/employers.